Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Fairfax Hackley
and Randy Couture.
These gentlemen just got back from an exciting trip this weekend, right? Fairfax, you want to explain what was going on this weekend?
We were at the Arnold Sports Festival in Columbus, Ohio, which is the world's largest sports festival with over 180,000 attendees. We have 15 Olympic sports, 37 events. We additionally added 10 more events this year. Randy has become an integral part of the whole weekend for over a decade. We share a great friendship, and he's also the first inductee ever into the International Sports Hall of Fame.
Randy, how big of an honor was it to be the first?
A huge honor, yeah, and a great group of people involved. Obviously, Arnold Schwarzenegger and also inducted into that first inaugural class, and the class this weekend, because we had the ceremony on Saturday for the third class into the International Sports Hall of Fame, was amazing as well. Linda Murray, Don the Dragon Wilson, Triple H, Michael Jai White, who else? Ed Cohn, one of the strongest men on the planet. We had one other, didn't we? Oh, Evander Holyfield. Holy crap.
How do you forget the real deal?
Yeah. Should have remembered talking about ears with Evander for crying out loud. But an amazing class and just a cool event.
Now, I mean, if you're wondering, listeners, why we're doing, we have some sports guys here, but the reason why we're doing it on the entertainment page here is because Randy's also an actor and been in The Expendables, so we got a little entertainment crossover here. Let's talk about your acting career a little bit. Which Expendables was it?
I was in all three.
All three of them?
Yeah, I played Toll Road. I think I have more face time in the third one than the first two, but all three of them were amazing and just a great group of guys to hang out with and fun. We shot the first one in New Orleans. We shot the second and third in Bulgaria. So I've spent 19 weeks of my life in Bulgaria. But I tell you what, there are a lot of worse places you could be. I've had a lot of fun there. It's just a cool place.
Tell us a little bit about what's it, our listeners are going to be like, man, what's it like to work with, Schwarzenegger, Stallone? Let's go down the line. What's something behind the scenes working with Schwarzenegger that we might not see watching it, but just from behind the scenes?
Well, I think the thing that I like about, and I've gotten to know Arnold over the last 10 years coming to the sports festival every year, is that he never really takes himself so seriously. I mean, we're all in this helicopter getting ready to shoot one of the first big scenes where the whole group of Expendables come together. Mm-hmm. And it was literally a who's who of actors and people. Yeah. I mean, Harrison Ford is flying the helicopter. I'm sitting next to Wesley Snipes and Jason Statham. Arnold's in the back, and I think we're all kind of looking at each other going, man, can you believe this?
Pinching yourself.
And we're waiting on Stallone to come running up and get into this helicopter. And,
as
and
if
of
there
course,
weren't enough
Arnold yells
it.
From the back, come on, Rocky, get into the chopper. And we all just fell out laughing. It was awesome.
Are you pinching yourself while you're sitting there looking around?
It was definitely surreal. From the very first time we all walked on set in Rio de Janeiro for Expendables 1 and bringing that whole group together, and now each movie, the cast just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And you're like, who else can they add to this?
Who do you add? Bruce Willis?
We had Bruce Willis in the first one. Mel Gibson was in the third one here. Bruce didn't make the third one. He was in the first and the second, but Bruce wasn't in the third.
Did you grow up watching some of these guys?
Absolutely.
I mean, Terminator, Rocky?
Absolutely. I grew up watching Rambo and watching Conan the Barbarian and all those movies, the Die Hard trilogy, Mel Gibson from all the lethal weapons. That's Han Solo right there. I'm like, really? It's nuts.
Star Wars, great.
Yeah. Did you ever in your wildest dreams think you'd one day be acting alongside them?
No, never. Never. And I've been very fortunate in that athletics and fighting opened that door about 12 years ago. They were looking for authentic, real fighters for an underground fight scene in Cradle to the Grave with DMX and Jet Li. And me and Tito and Chuck all got called through the UFC to go play a part in this movie. And that was my first time on a set, kind of seeing behind the curtain the process, how they make a movie and the whole thing. We spent 7 days shooting that one little 5-minute clip in that movie.
Was that eye-opening to you? How much time
it takes?
It
was absolutely eye-opening. And it kind of ruins you. Because then you go to the theater, and especially after you start learning more and doing more, you're like, oh, okay, you figure out how they set that up and how they shoot things.
But you can never watch it
the same
again.
It's not the same. And that's now how the litmus test for me on how you judge a movie. If I forget about it and I'm just lost in the story, then it was probably a pretty good movie. And if I'm analyzing it and thinking, how many setups was it for that shot, then the movie's probably not so good.
Right, exactly. How, I mean, you, you see it a lot of guys that are more known as, you know, for their athletics, like, you know, The Rock, or transition over into Hollywood. How tough of a transition was it for you in terms of coming back for 2 and 3 after you got a taste of it?
You know, getting that first chance, that first opportunity, I was immediately intrigued by the process. I went out, started taking some acting classes, got a real agent with Gersh and Brett Nordsberg at the Gersh Agency, and started getting better jobs. I'm a fighter, first and foremost, so I'm always going to look through those fighter's eyes. I want to be prepared. I want to go in there and knock it out of the park. You know, that's just how a wrestler, how a fighter is wired. And so this is no different. It's fun to get to play characters, do things you would never really do in real life. I mean, I just played a serial arsonist on Hawaii Five-0. I mean, it was a blast. It was fun. A little weird, but that was fun, kind of tapping into that. So it's definitely something that I take seriously. And I think, you know, being around those guys like Arnold, you know, Sly, Bruce Willis, they've been at the top of their game for 30 plus years. They showed up there prepared. There was no diva drama bullcrap. And I think that's why they've been so good for so long.
From an athlete's perspective, how are they able to stay in such shape? As, you know, they've been around for decades and they're still...
It's their job.
They've been following my example for a long time. I was the inspiration for so many of these people and mentored them. And so they tried to emulate and get the tumors in their arms and things like that.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor, but for them, they couldn't. They needed a tumor. But, you need to be able to stay in character and keep yourself in shape, because you never know. You don't want to be a flabby man coming into the set and it takes...
What are you talking about?
To get on shape. But hey, these guys are always taken so seriously, and they're the best of the best.
That was Fairfax Hackley, in case you could. I mean, we didn't have Arnold just come in here, although it sounded pretty on spot. I don't know.
It
fooled me.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the induction. Why was Randy a shoo-in? When you're looking at your credentials, who we're going to induct, why is all of a sudden you're like, boom, it's got to be him?
Well, because of my friendship, in part, but also what he did, he's accomplished over his career. The big part about the Hall of Fame is that we don't always look just at the athletic, you know, things, accomplishments that some of these people, we look at what these athletes and these celebrities have given back to not only their sports, but their community. And Randy just today gave over $60,000 to his GI Foundation in checks. This is the kind of guy who is so grounded, so involved in the community. And he's really a person that kids and even adults would like to emulate, because he's such a good guy. He's always, you know, there. He never hardly says no, except unless it's 4 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, he's always there for people. I've never seen him turn down an autograph or picture request. And this is part of the things that we seek in that weekend. What kind of man or woman are these people really? And are they used to, you know, that celebrity thing, but do they give back? And Randy's one of the best at that.
And talking about giving back, he just mentioned the what you did. We're here doing today. Talk about, you were at Walter Reed, right?
Yeah, I've started a foundation about 7 years ago for wounded soldiers.
What's it called?
Extreme Couture GI Foundation, xcgif.org. And I wore the uniform in the 80s during the Cold War. There wasn't much going on. Now a lot different phase in my life, and I've gotten the chance in 05 to go over to Iraq and visit, spend 12 days visiting the troops on the ground over there at that time. Came back, came here to Fort Belvoir, stuffed care packages, and visited the guys at Bethesda and Walter Reed in the hospital. Walked through the wards, meet a lot of those guys. And you cannot have that experience and not have that affect you in a fairly significant way, especially understanding what it's like to wear that uniform. And so it was then I was in the Army, and so I formed a nonprofit at that time. We're very small. My gym staff basically volunteers for all the things that we put on in the Vegas area. We're branching out and growing a little bit. We're doing an event this next week in St. Louis, a wrestling tournament for high school kids, and all the proceeds would go to the foundation. But whatever we raise during the course of the year, I come out here to Walter Reed and get to meet some of the guys that need a leg up. They need a hand. I don't think people understand what kind of life these guys' lives are on hold. Their families, their caregivers, their parents, their wives, they're on hold. They're accumulating and accruing bills while they go through, you know, all the surgeries and things that they need. And so anything we can do to help them, we do. And generally we come out here, like this year, we had a couple of pretty good events. We raised about $70,000. So we gave away $60,000 this today to six different families. So
how did you choose which families?
Well, I've gotten to know the staff at Walter Reed pretty well that basically deal with these people and get to know them on a very personal level. And they help us identify the families that need a hand.
That's fantastic. How did it go today, just walking through, me, I'm sure, shaking hands with some of the guys?
It's a really, really good experience. You feel like you're doing something and doing it right. And it's hard sometimes to emotionally kind of keep it together. But it's definitely always a good day every year we get to come out.
It's a great cause. Would you be open to doing a war movie?
Oh, absolutely. I think
like
that, I'm a huge fan of that movie, actually. And Lone Survivor, Marcus Luttrell, we just did a push-up challenge at my gym with Marcus, and it was very successful for the boot campaign. They're great guys. The movies, I thought, were really, really well done. I've always been a fan of those books and those movies. You know, Stephen Ambrose and all, you know, Citizen Soldier, D-Day, it wasn't about a war, but Undaunted Courage, about the Lewis and Clark expedition, some of the stuff that he wrote, I'm a big fan of that stuff.
One of the things that Randy did last year that really surprised a lot of people was his appearance on Dancing with the Stars.
Of course,
pointing
that out.
You know, it was so awesome. I mean, I personally was against it. I said, that's not a good idea. Until I actually saw that first dance routine. So many people were blown away by not only his charisma, but his projection. And he was so light on his feet for a guy that wears size 12. I thought he was going to be anchored into the ground, you know, like the old bazooka doll. But he was really awesome. And I think that he just captured the imagination of so many different people who had this idea that this guy was going to be stiff. And, you know, he just changed everyone's outlook.
Randy, do you have fond memories of Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, it was a really good experience, and I think that was the whole goal, getting involved. I had the opportunity a few years ago when I was still competing. I did a little cameo in the season that Lisa Gibbons was on with her about the Paso Dobles, which is a fight-oriented dance, and the casting people talked to me about it then, and I'm like, I don't know, it doesn't make sense then. You know, still competing, and right. It's a big commitment. I mean, you train for 5 weeks just leading up to the first episode, and then it's a 12-week process to get through the season. So if you get to the end,
how long did you last on the show?
I went 3 weeks.
Nice.
Which I thought, dancing wise, I could have lasted a lot longer, but it is at the end of the day still a reality show, and there's a lot of other things that factor into that. So, you know, I had to look at it like, you know, my goal, expose a different side of myself and expose myself to a different audience. Now I have, you know, 50 and 60 year old women recognizing me at the airport instead of just fight fans. But I think I accomplished that on my first night out, to be honest, that Foxtrot right off the bat was a great dance, and Karina, my partner, Karina Smirnoff, was amazing. They're going to miss her. She's not in this season that's coming up here next week, so she's moved on and doing other things. But I'm looking forward to seeing Rumor Willis and some of the new cast members that are coming up, Red Fu, and there's another big cast of celebrities that are going to be starting here next week.
Is it important for you to try to remain versatile like that? To do a little dancing, a little acting, a little
I've been a fan of dancing since I was a kid. My mom taught me how to do the jitterbug in the sixth grade, into seventh grade when I was going to have to go to the school dance, and me, like every other 12-year-old kid, was scared to death. Yeah. And she's like, "What are you worried about? This, you know, this is how you do it." And so I had a unique group of friends. We all liked and enjoyed the dance. And going to the dances. I didn't have any formal training, though. This was a whole different animal, doing a formal dance training with a professional dancer, basically. Getting a crash course in how to be a professional dancer and then stepping out in front of millions of people to do it. So yeah. I definitely, on dance night, had to go into fight mode. You know, it was competition mode. You had to kind of focus and go out there and do what you trained to do.
Did you ever, any part of you ever want to start throwing blows?
No.
You seem pretty adept at that crash course learning, though. It's like, we throw you on a film set, you're going to learn with all these legends around you. We're going to throw you on TV and dance. What's the key? Just be in the moment? Just be open-minded? Just ready, a sponge?
I think both those things are certainly very important. Keep an open mind. Don't take yourself too seriously. Be diligent. Do the work. Prepare as much as you can. I think I learned at 10 years old with wrestling and learning how to wrestle and putting myself out there on that mat in the center when everybody's looking
all
at
you
and there's nobody else to rely on but yourself. I have a tendency to look through those wrestlers' eyes at everything I do.
It's funny how those, you know, high school wrestling, football, whatever, trains you for later in life in ways you don't even realize sometimes.
Absolutely. Absolutely true.
So what else is on tap? I know you're in Hawaii 5-0, right?
Got a couple more episodes of Hawaii 5-0 we're going to be filming this summer. That character is going to reoccur a few times and grow and I think be a very big antagonist for the cast members on the show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking at filming and producing a new horror film called Them.
Oh, nice.
Probably September time frame for that.
You're producing it?
You'll be producing and developing that project as well as probably playing a small role in it.
What's that one about?
It's definitely sci-fi and horror combined.
Okay.
Got a little zombie element to it, but not the traditional stomping around zombies that we're used to. They're a lot more intellectual than the ones that we've kind of gotten used to seeing. And I'm a huge fan of The Walking Dead, by the way. I watched that last night. We were happy to get in time last night to watch the the reoccurrence of the episode because we hate to see the Facebook spoilers on those.
That's the new reality of living, man. You watch it
or it's wrong. So we also have a comedy that we're trying to develop and produce. We have a budget for that and I'll play it. Mindy and I will both play a character in that movie, and it'll be kind of a buddy comedy called Cameron and Eddie Lose the Belt. And I play a germophobic cage fighter in that one. So not a huge stretch, except I'm not really a germaphobe.
Right.
But
got the cage fighter.
It'll be fun.
Now, you keep saying we producing. Do you own your own production company? Or
I'm working with a very, very good friend of mine, a writer named Mike Socio, who's been writing for Will Smith and Kevin James for a long, long time. I've known the guy for 10 plus years.
How'd you meet him?
I met him through Kevin. Did a couple episodes of King of Queens back in the day, and I met him through Kevin James, and we've become very good friends. He's kind of steered me through the industry in some ways and worked with me even as a coach, as an acting coach on occasion, and, you know, he knows the industry from top to bottom. And he'd never really gotten a chance to write his own stuff and just produce it himself. He's always kind of handed off to a studio or whoever was doing it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so brought him in on a TV series that we're trying to develop called The Grappler. It looks like we're going to get that done, too. That's the third project we're working on.
Nice. You got a pilot for
he's
it?
He's riding it. We've got the first season and the second season all arced out. And CBS just signed on to produce it for us. So
would
that's
you play
a lot
lead?
Of juice.
Are you the grappler?
I will play the lead in that. 1905 San Francisco. Think Boardwalk Empire.
But
San Francisco.
Cool.
A lot different world back then. So very excited about that project. But that led us into Cameron and Eddie and them and these other projects that Mike is developing. And so
is it important for you to not get typecast as, I mean, the direct line is, you know, UFC to action movie, right? That's what you think for The Rock and everything else. But is it important to you not to typecast? I mean, it sounds like you're trying to do horror, sci-fi, comedy, you know, all over the map.
I definitely want to operate outside the box, so to speak. I mean, Dancing with the Stars is certainly outside the box for most people, what they think of me as. And I think it's hard in the industry. You have to make good decisions, not take every action flick or fight flick or martial arts flick that comes at you. And I've done
selective.
It with my agent's help, kind of filtered through a lot of that. And obviously, The Expendables is a great action genre movie to be involved with and to be associated with some of the biggest stars on the planet. You know, doing Scorpion King, you know, we did Ambushed.
Were you in Scorpion King? That was The Rock's first leading role, right?
I played Scorpion King 2, the prequel to The Rock's Scorpion King.
It wasn't even that
and
one,
I played,
like a prequel to The Mummy
I played
or something?
Sargon, kind of the head antagonist in that film for Universal, and it was a lot of fun.
Any other, before we go, Stallone tidbits, Schwarzenegger tidbits?
You know, they're
no
great guys. And a lot of people probably heard this story, but the first day of shooting on Expendables 3, when we all roll in, all the Expendables, me, Terry, Dolph, Wesley Snipes, everybody was there. We're supposed to be on this big flatbed truck coming down, being chased by a bunch of bad guys, and was supposed to come screeching up to a halt to bail off the truck and get into our boat and escape. And Jason's supposed to be driving this truck. And he's like, man, I've never driven that. Let's back it down the alley and I'll give it a test run just to make sure I can drive it right. And so he backs it down the alley. He gets in and comes driving up. We're all getting geared up, watching him. Brakes go out.
Oh,
he goes
no.
off the pier in a flatbed truck the first day of shooting. We're all standing there going, holy hell. Did that just, yeah, he mowed over, mowed over the cameraman and two of the camera guys into the water. And of course, anytime you're operating around water, they have safety crews and divers and everybody there. Yeah. Jason popped up very quickly. The two camera guys popped up. They lost the equipment. But
so just
but,
ruined.
Yeah, but we're all standing there going, holy crap. It was this surreal moment. Of course, Sly pulls out his iPhone and starts filming the whole thing. It was hilarious. But
that's for the outtakes.
Thankfully, nobody injured. Obviously, the equipment's all insured. Jason went and changed clothes, and we finished shooting the scene and doing all that. But that was a heck of a way to start Expendables 3.
I'd say, that'll do it. Well, the equipment wasn't expendable.
Yeah, right? No.
How did you get to hang out with Triple H at all this past weekend?
A little bit. Yeah, we gave out some awards. We were both introduced on stage for arm wrestling and obviously at the induction ceremonies, got to spend some time with him. And a very, very bright guy. Obviously, he's in charge of new talent development for the WWE now. He's kind of married into the family.
Yeah, smart move, sir.
but he's a very bright guy and doing a great job there.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks so much for coming in, Randy.
Pleasure.
Thanks for coming to Walter Reed and everything, too. That's great for the community.
Yeah, it's always a great day. It's sometimes difficult emotionally to see, but I think you feel like you're doing something right and really helping some people out. And, they're such good people and have really made a lot of sacrifices for us.
I think Fairfax said you have something at the White House tomorrow?
We're going to take a tour tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah. I have
part
friends.
Of just the regular group or like a private tour?
I have friends. I've done one of the good things that through years of fighting, I've gotten to do seminars with 10th Group Special Forces, some of all our Special Operations guys, law enforcement as well. So I've become friends with some of those Secret Service guys I've gotten to work with. So nice. One of my Secret Service buddies is going to take Mindy and I on a tour of the White House tomorrow.
Hey, they could use you as a Secret Service.
I don't think they
People
need my
running,
help.
Jumping the fence if you're standing
yeah,
there.
Yeah, well, I don't think they need my help. They've got some amazing dogs and amazing equipment, and his cat team, they're the best of the best for sure.
Well, hey, thanks again for coming in.
You bet.